Yeah. What up, little mommies? Come see me this week, y'all. I just added a last minute week at a place called Tommy T's in Rancho Cordova, California. That's near Sacramento. Come see me there. Following week, May 9th through 12th, Cleveland Improv in Cleveland, Ohio. May 17th, Portland, Oregon, with my beloved husband, Tom Segura, at the Funhouse Lounge. You may have heard of him.
Yo, this is real important, though. The Portland date, we got a second show.
That is a big deal.
We need people to come to it. Portland, we came to you because you said you'd be there. So the 10:30 show is on sale. Please come out and support us. Buy tickets. Come to that show.
Well, because here's the thing is that some of you are thinking, you know what? I'm not going to buy my tickets in advance. I'm just going to show up. Well, guess what? First show sold out, buddies.
Yeah, it's done.
It's done. So if you're thinking about coming, just buy the tickets.
This is the time to do it, man.
Commit, yo. And then May 18th, Seattle, Washington. Same thing.
Yeah.
Mom's House comedy tour with my
husband.
That's
one show, and that's at the High Line, and those tickets are on sale, too.
That's right. And then May 23rd through 26th, Richmond Funny Bone. Richmond, Virginia.
All right.
What about you, Buns? Electric Bunsaloo.
This weekend, 2 through 4 of May, I'm at the Underground Comedy Club in Toronto. Clandestiny, High on Trees, all that shit. And I believe we're all sold out. To double check that, you know, you can go to my site, tomsegura.com. The link to the tickets are there, but I was told that they're either... I know Friday and Saturday were sold out. Thursday was close. So maybe try to get Thursday tickets, May 2nd. So I'm excited about Toronto. Then it's Austin, Texas, the 8th through the 11th, Cap City. May 15th, I'm at the Hollywood Improv here in Los Angeles on Melrose. Come see me do a longer set than you normally do. Of course, the 17th and 18th with my tightest jeans on, Portland and Seattle that we just covered. And yeah, after that, well, you can look at that stuff.
In Portland.
Yeah, I'm excited about Portland.
Have you watched Portlandia yet?
I've seen a little bits and pieces. I've never seen a full episode, but I have seen bits and pieces.
The dream of the 90s is alive in Portland. It's pretty funny.
I'm into it, man. I can tell you're into it. But so,
ooh, thank you.
We got a lot of stuff to cover today.
Right.
Interesting stuff, fun stuff.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. Wow, how have I been living like this? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. More like, wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. We use Mint Mobile at the office and we have been saving so much money since switching over. And setting up a Mint Mobile's website was super easy. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/mom. That's mintmobile.com/mom. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/mom. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
We got so much show. You ready to do this?
Let's do it. I got my green tea. I'm ready to rock.
Boom.
Hell of a game. And let me say something. As long as I'm in this fucking job, Snelker will be the offensive coach. I mean, no question fucking about that. No fucking question about that. I don't like to name names after a fucking game. But we can't be responsible for the blocking. We can't be responsible for the fucking guys jumping offside. We can't be responsible for fuck. We get down there and it was a dumb play by Anderson. I love Anderson, but it was a dumb fucking play when his foot was shoe was coming off up the line screen. We were hiring to take timeout. We had a fucking trap play called, and his fucking shoe comes off. that ain't Bob Snelker's fault. We have another fucking trap playing, and if Vinny picks up his fucking feet, he walks in. We got the fucking pass to AC out there in the flat. It's a ball thrown in a low. That is a Snoker's fault. We got right down there, we got the second down, and I don't know what the hell, two yards ago, I don't know what, 15, 40, whatever the hell it was, and Irwin jumps offside. Now, these are the things that have been hurting us all along, the little things. We're working at them to stop them. We moved the ball good today, we went down there, and we didn't get the ball in the end zone.
Did you win this game?
I think we did, yeah.
This is big time!
Who is Randy?
Don't bring anyone mother into this.
Your mom in the fucking stand!
Welcome to your mom's house. With Tom Segura. And
Christina Pajitsin. Christina Pajitsin.
Welcome to your mom's house.
Who was that guy?
That was the old Vikings coach, Jerry Burns. And that was after a win.
Oh, I thought he... Wow.
That was the last bit of that thing, of that clip. The guy goes, the guy in the radio, or the journalist goes, "Coach, did you win today?" He's like, "Yeah, I think so." They won that game. He's like, "We're fucking up all over the fucking place."
I love
place.
That guy. He's my kind of guy.
Oh, me too. That's the best.
It's the best. But specifically because no matter how well you're doing, it's never good enough.
That's you.
Yeah. Oh,
that
yeah.
Is you,
I mean, sure. I can, you know, someone can be like, "You just got a pilot," or
"Yeah,
you just made $1 million." And I'll be like, "I don't care. What's the next thing? What? How can I beat myself up today?"
Well, that's what we were talking about. Part of your thinking, which I'm like, Jesus.
What, my Eastern Bloc?
Your Eastern Bloc communist thinking is like, remember we were looking at Theo, our dog, and you're like, "Yeah, he's going to die one day." And I was like, "What?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" You're like, "He is." And I was like, "I know. Why are we talking about it?" You're like, "Well, you know, it's just something to think about." I mean, I'm like, "What? We just got over his sickness." You're like, "I know, but he's going to die one day. That should make you appreciate him more." I'm like, "I don't want to talk about that."
Because
but that is how your brain thinks.
Because that's how Eastern Blockers are. Because your life could end. The KGB could come and steal you away in the middle of the night. You could end up in a gulag for no reason. So life is fragile and frail, and we got to appreciate it. It's really my call, my existential call, for you to embrace your life, to grab life by the balls and pull as hard as you can, because you don't know how long you have to be here, Tom.
Yeah, yeah.
But you Americans see it as like, "Oh, you're negative."
You Americans. That's right. You're not an American. You're
a foreigner.
I took
a vow to this country.
You're a foreigner, and you always will be.
I took a vow, Tommy.
You do not have the same rights. You do not have the same privileges.
I do, too. I still feel like this is too low for me.
Too low? Hear. Turn that up, because this is plenty.
Number
three? You got plenty of juice.
Am I three?
I'm not sure.
Maybe I'm number four.
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Meow. Oh, that's so much better. I like that. No, I took a vow to this country, just for the fucking record for anybody listening. 1994, I swore allegiance to the United States of America, April 1st, 1994, and I renounced my Canadian citizenship. What?
For the record,
okay,
you're an outsider. You're not welcome here. You should go home.
Did you take a pledge to America?
Born here, okay. Citizen.
Look,
boom.
Not lucky enough.
Bam, bang, 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 bang.
Hey, what's that? Who's that guy that I like? The fat guy who's like, "Let's get a goddamn snack."
Rex Ryan.
Fuck, I love it. What's up with Rex Ryan? Sexy Rex.
He's still coaching the Jets. They're a fucking disaster, but he's still coaching them. Yeah,
they're a disaster.
Well, you know, they had a lot of. They've had a lot of. Press that has nothing to do with, I mean, I shouldn't say it has nothing to do. They need a lot of stuff to happen for them to get better. I mean, they had their best player, they traded away because he was jaded and a diva, basically, and wanted a new contract, and they were like, "Just enough with you." So they traded him to Tampa Bay. So he's gone.
Well, he's going to die one day, too.
So he'll definitely
better
die.
Enjoy that. Yeah.
They got rid of their sideshow athlete, Tim Tebow.
I've heard of this gentleman.
Yes. Tim doesn't play, but he is a huge star, you know, into the press and the media.
What does he do?
They released him.
He creates drama. Is he flashy and stuff?
He's not flat. What he is he's one of the best college football players of all time. Okay. And he was extremely dominant in college.
But he's no Peyton Manning or Eli Manning, because their name a lot.
No. Okay. So anyways, he got drafted. He got traded. He got traded from Denver, where he did win a few games. He was a backup, and then he won a few games. Then they got a new coach. Then they got Peyton Manning, who you know.
Peyton Manning.
So they're like, get rid of this fucking Bush League asshole. They traded him to the Jets. Mm-hmm. The Jets were like, you're a second string or third string quarterback, meaning you're not playing. But
wait a minute. Before we go any further, Tim Tebow, it sounds like he's a white guy. Is that a white guy's name?
He's very white, okay. Yes.
Just.
But Tim comes with a lot of, how should I say, soapbox speeches about the Lord and Savior.
Oh, geez.
He's very... Very much everything is Jesus this and Jesus that.
Oh.
And which a lot of athletes are.
I was just gonna
but
say.
He's more prominent because he was so successful in college. He won the Heisman Trophy. He won multiple national championships. And he was like, you know, he was who middle America goes, yes, that's what we want our superstar athletes to be.
Right.
Quarterback, clean cut,
American white guy.
Virgin, you know.
Oh no.
Yeah. Missionary trips, you know, like on vacation when his teammates were like, going spring break, get my dick sucked. He was like, I'm going to the Philippines to build a house for somebody. Yeah.
Oh, what a nerd. Okay. So
yeah, he's a big nerd.
He's a fucking nerd alert.
Yeah.
Well, this guy doesn't enjoy life.
Can like a fucking
something?
Brick shit house.
As an Eastern blocker,
yeah.
He's not enjoying his life.
No.
He's going to die one day.
He's doing the opposite. What he's doing to anybody that's paying attention, and I'm sure to women.
You make my pussy dry.
He's making their pussies
he's
dry.
He's eating cornbread.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he needs to enjoy himself because it ain't going to last for much longer.
It's already over.
Oh, his career is over?
Well, I mean, somebody maybe will scoop him up because of... He's a guy that sells tickets. Like he's the equivalent of like a bad headliner who was on a big television show. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
there's a few of those.
He doesn't have the tools to play in the NFL.
He doesn't have the skills to pay the bills, is what
no,
you're saying.
He does not. He is not cut out for the NFL.
Huh.
But he's a believer. He's a hard worker. He is a good teammate. Everybody says that all the positives about him. He just doesn't have the skills to pay the bills, like you said.
Okay.
And he's not, you know, he's not getting his dick sucked either.
That's the, dude, why become an athlete? Like, isn't that the reason you become an athlete is to get your dick sucked?
Yeah.
To go to the strip club, to make it rain dollars on hoes, to buy gold chains. You got to get your chain with your fucking initials on it.
Speaking of dicks and getting them sucked and being an athlete, this week, the first major American athlete within the we call it the Big Four. We have four, and by the way, I recognize
sounds
one of the
like
things.
Sports Center. I don't understand what's happening.
Okay,
already.
I'll set
Peyton
it up.
Manning,
for you.
Eli Manning, Peyton Manning. That's all I hear on Sports Center when you watch it.
Okay.
First of all, I don't understand Sports Center. You've watched the game for 5 hours, and now it's five white guys and one token black guy at a desk talking about the game we just saw.
That's not necessarily
Peyton Manning,
true.
Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning. Okay, I'm sorry. You were in the middle of your thing.
Your sex life is important, but your schedule is busy. You don't have the time to go to a doctor's office to get treated for your erectile dysfunction. Through Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. Hims is changing men's health care by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment, options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and 100% online. No uncomfortable doctor's visits. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/YMH. That's HIMS.com/YMH for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/YMH. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. Order your alcohol with DoorDash today and drink in the savings. Use code YMH24 to get 25% off, up to $15 value on a $35 minimum subtotal on your next alcohol order for eligible users only. The alcohol selection on DoorDash is top shelf. With thousands of stores all over the country, you're sure to find what you're looking for and more. Beer, wine, mixers, mocktails, and more can be delivered straight to your door. Save up to 25% off, up to $15 value when you spend $35 or more with code YMH24. So whether you're grabbing drinks for an event or staying in for the night, DoorDash is here to help you have a great evening any evening. Terms apply. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Delivery and promotions available only in select markets.
So there are four major American sports.
Do you want to divorce
me now? Pretty much right now, yes. Okay. And I realized that one of the things that happened with the story this week is that a lot of people were like, this isn't the first major athlete to do this. There's other major athletes. And they're right. Every country, though, focuses on their own sports, and we're no different. If you go to Australia, they're going to focus on the Australian rules football teams, rugby teams.
Aussie rules football.
Absolutely. You go to India, or Pakistan, it's going to be their cricket teams. And
if you go to
if you go to Brazil, it's going to be soccer. Like
football.
Absolutely.
Football.
So it is true. But in the United States, where we live, there are four major sports. They are football, the NFL,
badminton,
basketball, the NBA, hockey, and baseball, okay, right. NHL and MLB. So among those, there's never been an active player who says that they're gay. Mm. Retired players have, sometimes a couple years after, sometimes 10, 20 years after, okay? Mm-hmm. They don't say it while they're in the league. So that's
it's a big deal.
Big thing.
But in tennis, it seems to be okay to be gay. Chris Everett Lloyd was a lesbian. What's her name? Was Arthur Ashe gay?
No.
Or he just had AIDS?
No, he was not gay.
You know what I mean? Like, tennis
AIDS and a blood transfusion.
Is pretty liberal. Tennis there, they allow gayness.
Okay, let me set you up on this. Okay. Nobody gives a fuck about tennis, okay? All right, so back to the real world.
Well, I watched tennis growing up.
All right, can we go back to the story? I mean, I don't know why you're bringing up tennis right now. Like, that's important to this story.
I'm just pointing out there's gay people in tennis.
I know that there are. Nobody gives a shit. We're talking about real athletes.
American sports,
yes.
I get it. Is tennis not America?
Okay. Yeah, come on.
Look, I'm sorry. I don't know a lot about sports. Go ahead.
All right, so this week, Jason Collins, not a superstar, not a big name athlete, but still a guy who's been in the NBA for 12 years. One of these guys who, to make it like a point for you, okay, mm-hmm. not a guy you would know or see highlights of if you're watching SportsCenter, but he's a guy who's reliable enough to have a place on the team. When the starting guy is tired or in foul trouble, they take that guy out. They might put Jason in for a quarter or something. Okay.
But most importantly, black or white?
Black guy.
Okay.
7 feet, 255 pounds.
Okay.
Big motherfucker. Okay.
Okay. So he gets called in when the going gets tough.
He's a supporting role player.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So he's been on a number of teams, been in playoff games, he's been in NBA finals. He's a real pro athlete. So he, in Sports Illustrated, wrote an essay this week about being gay,
okay.
openly gay. Coming out, nobody knew except for
his boyfriend.
Yes.
I heard about this.
A couple of family members. His boyfriend? I didn't even know he has a boyfriend.
I don't know he's a boyfriend. I'm assuming he's been gay with somebody, hopefully, by now.
Well, sure, but I'm saying there's no indication that he has a significant
monogamous.
Other.
Okay.
No. So he came out. And like the sports shows do, one of the things, first of all, I should say that one of the things that you picked up on if you were following the story at all was that overwhelming support for this guy. I mean, it's been it's really cool to see that as a society, we're at the point now where we really push somebody like that in the like in we elevate them and support them and say we're proud of you for
right. And this is the NBA. This is basketball.
Yeah, this is probably the second most homophobic among locker rooms. I can't imagine what it's like to be. That's why people are so, I think, so supportive of this guy.
Yeah.
And like, even if you don't, if you're not, let's say, into this, supportive of this, imagine how difficult it is to put yourself in his position.
Oh, it's horrifying. It's such a macho sport.
Absolutely.
The locker room's just a bunch of slap dicks, as Rex Ryan says.
And it's not cool to be gay.
I understand the culture pretty completely. It's not like tennis, you know what I mean?
And this is, and the thing is, if you're a guy and you've played on any sports team at any level, you understand how, like, I mean, you know, for me it's high school, so I'm not trying to say it's the same as the NBA, obviously, but you understand that, like, locker rooms and teams, they're not like, oh, you're gay? That's cool, man.
Right.
It's the opposite. You know, the language is always either misogynistic or homophobic or sexist.
Right.
And it's not necessarily, it's a culture that breeds be chauvinistic,
mm-hmm.
be a pig, talk like it.
Talk shit.
Yeah. Talk shit and not necessarily, at least in the past, you know, be tolerant. I think now, as a whole society, we've evolved to the point where people were so much more comfortable with different people and different sexual orientations than we were as kids, you know?
Right. We'd like, hope so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can tell as a whole it is. Not everybody, but
yeah.
As a whole. So this became huge news. I mean, everybody was, you know, like I said, that I saw that was a notable name was supporting this guy. I mean,
right.
Kobe Bryant was like, thumbs up, support you, and everybody else should. Like, everybody was applauding him for being 34 and finally coming out.
He's
34 years old.
Poor guy.
So anyways, one of the things is whenever this happens, like with any issue, you know, there's always the talking head shows. If it's something in the courtroom, they'll be on Nancy Grace. Well, what do you think of the position?
Nancy
on? And
Grace.
Then somebody's like, well, I think, you know, this is a slam dunk case for the prosecution.
Right.
And
right.
If it's a, you know, if it's a medical issue, it's Sanjay Gupta and, you know, whatever, some other doctor.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Neurologically, this is a process of what we do. And then the other guy goes, I don't think that's something that we have the tools right. to do here. So in sports, you know, this is a big sports story because it involves an NBA player. So they have the talking heads come on that. One of the guys that came on is Chris Broussard, who is an NBA analyst. That's what he does is he's the guy that talks, but just about basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They asked him his opinion mm-hmm. on Jason Collins coming out. And here's a clip of what he had to say.
I'm a Christian. I don't agree with homosexuality. I think it's a sin, as I think all sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman is. And LZ knows that. He and I have played on basketball teams together for several years. We've gone out, had lunch together. We've had good conversations, good laughs together. He knows where I stand, and I know where he stands. I don't, you know, criticize him. He doesn't criticize me and call me a bigot, call me ignorant, call me intolerant. And that I hear and talking to some people around the league, there are a lot of Christians in the NBA. And they don't want to be, just because they disagree with that lifestyle, they don't want to be viewed and called bigoted and intolerant and things like that. And that's what LZ was getting at. Just like I may tolerate someone whose lifestyle I disagree with, he can tolerate my beliefs, and he disagrees with my beliefs and my lifestyle, but true tolerance and acceptance is being able to handle that as mature adults and not criticize each other and call each other names. Personally, I don't believe that you can live an openly homosexual lifestyle or an openly premarital sex between heterosexuals. If you're openly living that type of lifestyle, then the Bible says you know them by their fruits. It says that, you know, that's a sin. And if you're openly living in unrepentant sin, whatever it may be, not just homosexuality, adultery, fornication, premarital sex between heterosexuals, whatever it may be, I believe that's walking in open rebellion to God and to Jesus Christ. So I would not characterize that person as a Christian because I don't think the Bible would characterize him as a Christian.
Boy, he has a problem with most of society.
He doesn't. Everybody what he's doing
has premarital sex.
That you know what that is,
of
though.
Of course,
right?
It's bullshit. Yes.
That's a bullshit that's, line to not seem right. as homophobic
that's,
as he is.
That's known in the industry as some bullshit.
Yeah, that's a lot of bullshit right there. I mean, and I gotta say, off the top, Chris Broussard.
You make my pussy dry.
100%. 100%.
There's a booze.
I engaged a number of people on Twitter today with I didn't engage them. I made a statement, and then I tagged him in it so he could he could see what I thought of him. But most people agreed. Some disagreed. Some wrote cool things like, "He's right. That is what it says." I like when there's so much meat in
there's
this.
There's a lot in this topic. Yes.
I mean, first of all, I have to say his idea of, you know, true tolerance is tolerating each other like this. I don't think so, man. I really don't think that's what tolerance is. Here's what tolerance is to me, okay? What we need to do after hearing Chris Broussard speak. What you're saying is I'm an intolerant person. He says, I don't want to be characterized as that, but you are. And therefore, now you can tolerate that I'm an intolerant person.
Right.
That's essentially what he's saying. I'm not okay with people who choose this lifestyle, and you should be okay with me not being okay with that. I think that's fine as long as you're not the voice of a network or one of the premier voices of a league that, and you're the analyst that millions of people get to watch. We see you now as an intolerant person. It is no different. Zero. There's no difference between his point of view on that and being like, hey, you know what? Here's the thing. My point of view is that blacks should have their own transportation and not be allowed on white public transportation. But that's just my point of view.
Well, because in the Bible it says maybe
The Bible it says that you can have slaves. And all I'm saying is that as a Christian, if you follow the Bible, you know, that you would understand what I'm saying. And here's the thing. You want to call me a bigot and intolerant, and it's just not true. I'm just saying that whites are better than blacks. And it's just ridiculous if you think I'm a bigot.
I think I don't even like the word offend. I think what's really, really horse shit is when Christians kind of declare what it means to be a Christian all Christians.
I couldn't agree with you.
Yeah,
more.
Like, listen, whatever this lunatic nutbag thinks, clearly I don't agree with his views. But don't tell. There are Christians out there that are extremely tolerant of gay people. There are Christian churches that have gay pastors and allow gay people in. So don't fucking speak on behalf of all
and
Christians.
And he's telling that guy he's not a Christian. Do you think that's cool?
Right.
He's telling the guy. The reason he said that is because Jason Collins, the guy that came out, is like, I'm a Christian. And he's telling him, you're not a Christian.
Well, I'm pretty sure Jesus Christ himself said, tolerate everybody unless they're gay.
There's a quote in the Bible.
Love everybody unless they're gay.
And the people, you know, they throw around, well, here's what it says in the Bibles. And he's manipulating the language of the Bible. Doesn't quote anything except you'll know them by their fruits.
what is that?
Which, by the way, what? Cantaloupe? Grapefruits?
Delicious.
I like melon.
All kinds.
He's saying that shit. I feel like it's just... It's a gross manipulation of the Bible.
Right.
And you know, he's been taught intolerance. I get that. He's been taught to not accept a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure, by the way, he feels very strongly about all the premarital sex, too.
Oh, I'm sure he never
and
did that.
Not only that, as an NBA analyst, we all know that the NBA players never slang that dick around.
No.
And I'm sure that he'll come out against those as a Christian and tell them that they're not true Christians.
Exactly. And he's the only one without sin. I like how he's pointing out that this guy's living in open rebellion.
Yeah.
Living in premarital sex and impertinent thing and the fruit of the sin. Oh, like, he doesn't do shit wrong.
Of course.
He's without sin himself.
And it's also interesting to me that he's quick to point out, you know, the thing that he doesn't want to be called. Like, he sets it up. Like, I don't want to be... consider, you know, people say that I'm ignorant or bigoted or intolerant.
Yes.
And it's all the things that he knows he's being.
Yeah, I agree.
You're being intolerant and bigoted.
And listen, and I get it. All right, freedom of speech in this country.
Yeah, I'm not against him saying it.
I totally get it. And listen, guys, as I've said on stage, I spent 2 whole weeks in law school. That's why I'm qualified to speak on this.
Huge. It's huge.
168 on my LSAT. Thank you very much. And I'll tell you what, the only reason I'm kind of opposed to this kind of stuff is because it does border on hate speech, which is inciting, not violence, but he is kind of mixing shit against a group of people for no good reason. Okay, so yeah. This does border, and you're right, if it's somebody that's in the public eye, he's an announcer, he's on, I'm sure he's just on Fox, this asshole?
This is ESPN.
Okay, well, if it were on Fox, I wouldn't be surprised. But it does border on irrational fucking hate speech, like inciting violence or inciting hatred towards a group for no fucking good reason.
It's not Christian. There's one thing that's
definitely not Christian.
It's not a Christian way of being. If you're going to tout Christianity and be like, well, the thing, you know, one of my main defining characteristics is how Christian I am. It's not to go out and
hate
publicly
people.
Say,
yeah.
By the way, I'm not tolerant of this. I mean, I guess what has me upset is the lack of empathy, you know, in like, you know, that a guy like I'm sure has been through real
bullshit already. But he said in the beginning, remember, he goes, we've had some laughs together.
Oh, and that's, here's the thing.
That's my favorite part.
He's not talking about that guy.
He's talking about LC.
LZ.
Who's LZ?
LZ is another, is the other commentator, the other side of the opinion. He's gay. So
wow.
There's a back and forth. He's setting it up as me and the gay dude are cool.
How could you be? Really? How could you sit down with somebody? Let's say I hate Puerto Ricans, which we know to be notably false. Let's say I have a Puerto Rican friend. We sit down, we have great laughs every day, but you know I hate Puerto Ricans, right?
Because
there's no fucking way you could be friends with somebody.
Of course.
And hate them, who they are.
They're
identity.
Not friends.
It's crazy.
They're not friends at all.
Of course not. He's full of shit.
LZ.
Crazy.
LZ, for work purposes, probably just tolerates this guy.
Yeah,
he tolerates Chris Broussard and is like, well, you know what? I know you're a homophobic piece of shit, but I also know that we work in the same building. So, yeah, I'll play basketball with you.
You know what? You know what, though? And I know a lot of people are like, oh, the gay, this not, it's not. It really is a civil rights movement. This has become the
It
movement.
Is.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't think it is. And I think you have to remember that these poor gay dudes couldn't be out and couldn't, and you get bashed growing up. You've been physically hurt just because of your sexual orientation.
Yeah.
It's devastating.
Look, I mean, I want to point this out. People, a lot of times, like to us, you know, to me on Twitter or whatever, they'll bring up things that like we've said. And I'm like, are you seriously comparing jokes that a comedian says or, bits that we do where we sell, you know, a certain way of talking, like that's a bit that we're doing, you know, like you can't compare what somebody's saying is their true point
of
view.
No. Whatever we do is in the line. It's known. Well, it's in the venue of parody. It's in the venue of comedy.
Well, it's the context.
It's never real.
You can't take things out of my act or things that we do as a bit on this show and be like, what about that shit? What about it? It's comedy.
But it's
We're
under
doing
the
a show.
Label of comedy.
Of course.
It's like watching Saturday Night Live. You know it's not real.
I'm just
it's
at the point now where I really am. I'm really at the point now where I'm baffled by anybody that doesn't have tolerance for gays and lesbians.
I know.
It just baffles me.
Weird.
I really am.
I know.
Like, it is a civil rights thing. And you sound, if you agree with not being tolerant of gays and lesbians, just you sound like the same buffoons that we see now on clips in the 40s and 50s and 60s who were like, well, as long as they drank out of their own water fountain, then everything's fine. Like, that's what you sound like. And if you don't see that, you're going to get a really rude awakening.
Right.
Really soon.
It's really crazy, isn't
it? It is crazy.
I know. And especially over something as silly as dick sucking.
Yeah.
And sodomy. And that's really, you know, Brian Keith Etheridge, a good friend of ours, has a great bit about it. About if you hate dick suckers, because that's all this boils down to is dick sucking and sodomy. Well, guess what? Your mother sucks dicks. And not only that, your grandmother sucks dicks. Your sister sucks dicks. Everybody sucks a dick. And I don't understand what the big deal is about sucking dicks and putting dicks in assholes. Who gives a shit?
I know.
And how many straight guys out there are having anal sex with their girlfriends? Big whoopee-doo.
It's true.
What's the fear? You fear that your country is going to be overrun by the gays?
Can
it's
I
not
going to
happen. Don't worry about it. And also, historically, by the way, no society has ever flourished with intolerance as its policies. Look at history. Look at the Berlin Wall. How did that work, keeping people from East and West separated? It never works, people. It never goddamn works. You cannot build a society on intolerance.
I've always viewed the... you know, to the people who have like an issue with gays and lesbians, like the way to really break down the difference between gays and lesbians and straight people is, and this sounds very crude, but I really think this is a very accurate way of explaining it. The difference between them and you is only that there's a difference in what gets their dick hard.
Right. It's sucking dicks. Putting dicks in buttholes or licking vaginas. There's nothing. We all do
but
it.
But I'm saying even within the straight world.
Yes, right?
Like some guy, he can't get dick hard without getting spanked.
Right.
Or getting his nuts tied up and being told he's a bad student and getting spanked by the nun or whatever. That's what gets him off. Another guy wants to get pissed on. I'm saying there.
You can't help what biologically turns you on.
A degree, a variation of a degree, and then... That's why you're saying, because it's a little over to the left of what gets you excited, that person shouldn't have certain rights. That's a little, it sounds a little nutty, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's fucking stupid.
Well, here's the rest of this story. So the guy obviously got hammered by a lot of people. He got support from people, of course, too, but then he got a lot of criticism. And ESPN, who employs him, came out and said that it regrets the distraction caused by one of the reporters.
Okay.
Chris Broussard, who said that, it was walking in open rebellion to God and to Jesus Christ.
Open rebellion. So he's saying that
choice.
The gays
definitely
are an open rebellion to God. But doesn't that sound a little like we gotta take these gays down? You know what I'm saying? Like, if somebody's living in open rebellion, that sounds to me like he's inciting almost like, well, let's teach these fags a lesson. I think it's hateful speech. I think it borders on
it. It also, it's totally not in line with somebody being born that way. He's not obviously accepting of that.
I mean, but beyond, that's another discussion. The guy's he's never going to see it that way. No.
Well, the network offered, here's what ESPN said, okay?
Scumbag.
ESPN is fully committed to diversity and welcomes Jason Collins' announcement. So basically, they don't, you know, that's what they had to say about it.
Yeah.
But here's what's interesting. ESPN has fired a guy before, who I'm going to show you what he said. And then another guy resigned, but under pressure of being fired. And these are two other incidents, okay? So I want you to tell me what you think of these other incidents and how they may relate to, you know, this issue, okay?
Yeah.
So about a year and change ago, 2012, RG3, Robert Griffin III, was asked what it's like being a black quarterback. He's a football player, quarterback for Washington Redskins. This is what he had to say. Whenever you can relate to the population of the team that you play for, I think it makes it that much more special. I don't play too much into the color game because I don't want to be the best African-American quarterback. I want to be the best quarterback. But to the fans and the fans who think that way, look at me as African-American, it's important that I succeed not only for them, for this team, but for them, because it gives them motivation. They say, hey, you know, an African-American went out and played quarterback for my Washington Redskins, and I appreciate that. I don't ever downplay anything like that. So when that came out in another talking head thing where they go, let's discuss this, a guy named Rob Parker, who worked for ESPN, had this to say. He's black, by the way.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is an interesting topic, but for me, mm-hmm. personally, just me, mm-hmm. This throws up a red flag when I keep hearing, and I don't know who's asking the questions, but we've heard a couple of times now of a black guy kind of distancing himself away from black people.
Okay.
I understand the whole story of, I just want to be the best. Nobody's out on the field saying to themselves, I want to be the best black quarterback. You're just playing football, right? You just want to be the best. You want to throw the most touchdowns and have the most yards and win the most games. Nobody is doing that. But time and time we keep hearing this, so it just makes me wonder deeper about him. And I talked to some people down in Washington, D.C., and my question, honestly,
friends of yours, right?
Friends of mine, right? Who are around and in some of the press conferences, people I've known for a long time. But my question, which is just a straight, honest question, is he a brother or is he a cornball brother?
What does that mean?
Yeah, explain that.
Well, he's not really. Okay, he's black. He kind of does the thing, but he's not really down with the cause. He's not one of us. He's kind of black. He's in the, but he's not really like the guy you really want to hang out with because he's off to something else.
Why is that your question?
Well, because that's just how I want to find out about him. I don't know because I keep hearing these things. We all know he has a white fiance, and there was all this talk about he's a Republican, which there's no information at all. I'm just trying to dig deeper into why he has an issue, because we did find out with Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods was like, I don't want to, I got black skin, but don't call me black. So people got a little wondered about Tiger Woods early on about him.
What do you RG3's bring?
Gone. They fired him for that. They suspended him for 30 days and then they fired him.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because when race comes up,
right,
that's immediate.
But do you know why? It's only because the discussion on race in our country is further evolved.
Of course.
And
you're
now
right.
We go, well, what? Whose fucking business is it how black or how brother or cornball brother this guy is, whether or not he dates a white? Who gives a fuck now? But that's because we had to evolve our dialogue on race. And right now, the dialogue on gays is still a lot of this country agrees with what Chris Broussard says. That's the truth.
That is the truth.
Is that it's not so offensive, quote unquote, to Americans.
We're not that progressive.
Because we're not evolved yet to believe that this is truly offensive, which it is if you're on it, but it's not there yet.
Yeah, you hit it out of the park.
Because half America is fucking high-fiving themselves watching TV as Chris Broussard says his goddamn nonsense. But in 10 years, we're going to go, can you believe that fucking guy
fucking idiot
called him an abomination?
Walking in open rebellion.
An open rebellion to Jesus? I mean, it's nuts.
Just to give you one more.
Yeah, I love this shit. This is a departure for your mom's house. We're getting fired up today.
Well, you know, who cares, right? Do whatever
no,
we want.
I like it. I think it's about time we get fired up in this bitch.
Then we can talk about our weeks.
And taking shits. Yeah, yeah. Go back to that.
So this was Rush Limbaugh.
Oh,
ESPN,
Rush.
ESPN had the great idea to
miss
bring
that guy.
Rush Limbaugh. He's still around. Into ESPN's football coverage.
Oh my God.
In studio. And that went on for 3 weeks. This, I believe, being the last week.
I've listened to all you guys, actually, and I think the sum total of what you're all saying is that Donovan McNabb is regressing. He's going backwards. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to say this. I don't think he's been that good from the get-go. I think what we've had here is a little social concern in the NFL. I think the media has been very desirous that a black quarterback do well. Mm-hmm. We're interested in black coaches and black quarterbacks doing well. I think there was a little hope invested in McNabb, and he got a lot of credit for the performance of this team that he really didn't deserve.
The defense
carried this team,
but
I think.
Rush,
and he
somebody
got
went to
it.
Those championship games.
Somebody went
to those Pro Bowls. Somebody made those plays that I saw running down the field, doing it with his legs, doing it
it with his arm. He has been a very effective quarterback for this football team over the last two or three years.
Yeah, but
different than what we see right now. And they didn't have any more talent then.
Oh, yeah, they did on
now.
Defense. On defense, they did.
On defense, they did. On the offensive side of the ball.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. I think he got a lot of credit for the defensive side of the ball winning games for this team.
But I'll tell you what, I'll say it even more strongly, Tom. When they're winning, nobody makes more plays
than Donovan McNabb.
With his arm than Donovan McNabb. Yeah. That guy is really one of the best in the league at making plays.
Well,
but making plays does not win championships. Running the offense does. So at some point, I think
Coy
Detmer looks like a better option because he'll go in there, drop back, and throw the ball correctly.
Isn't it odd that last year with the broken leg, I know it was Arizona, but the one game he was in the pie, he looked great.
He had to run that off.
So, Rush, once you make that investment, though, once you make that investment in him, that's a done deal.
I'm saying it's a good investment. Don't misunderstand. I just don't think he's as good as everybody said he has been.
Rush had.
And then he resigned from this post.
Okay.
Basically, the suggestion was, it was ludicrous. I mean, well, some people agreed with it, but I think most people saw it as ludicrous that Donovan McNabb, who I know you don't know, is a black quarterback, and he was saying the media is desiring that a black quarterback succeed.
Oh, boy.
So people were like, okay, asshole. Hit the bricks.
And hit the bricks. Rush Limbaugh hit the bricks.
Yeah,
that's a name guy.
If you are into anything that Rush Limbaugh says,
you make my pussy dry.
You make our pussies dry for sure. Are you right? Am I right?
Big time, Rush. But you know, I gotta believe that these guys, these Rush Limbaughs, these Dr. Lauras. What's that other blonde broad who hates women? Republican.
Dr. Laura?
Come on. She's always
who?
On.
Oh, Ann Coulter?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, these nut jobs, you got to know.
The extremes are always bad.
But you got to know.
Yeah.
It's showbiz.
Yeah.
And these people are pumping up their dumb beliefs to be more, it's more showy that way, to be that crazy.
Yeah.
I don't even think they believe their own nonsense. Do you really think? There's no way. You can't be a rational human being.
I think most of them, they know that what they're doing. They know they're selling books and selling, you
That's
know.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're selling a ridiculous position to rally people around.
It's well.
Stupid Rush Limbaugh, fucking retard. Big hypocrite that he is.
If you have a feeling that you'd like to share on this.
Please don't.
Don't let us know.
Keep it to yourself, please.
We told you how we feel.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a sad issue that it's still not there yet, man.
Yeah, I know.
We'll get there eventually. Here's the thing, too, guys. You can't stop society from progressing, you know?
Of course not.
And some people try to stop science. They try to stop reason. They try to stop evolution. You can only damage.
Well, evolution's
it.
Not real.
But that too. You can only damage things momentarily, and then guess what? The gays are going to marry. The blacks are going to marry whites.
Of course.
It's all going to happen, guys.
That was another one that was a big issue in this country, by the way.
Huge.
And I like when, by the way, the people that are who won't agree with us will get behind the idea that these are far different things and this is nothing, you know, these are totally different issues.
Well,
but they're
talk
not.
To a gay person.
Yeah.
Go ahead and talk to the gay uncle that you have. Your gay friend, maybe if you live in a small town, go talk to that gay kid. See how he or she feels being completely ostracized, having to hide who he or she is because of fear of having the shit beaten out of them.
Yeah.
Being called a faggot or whatever it is. Go ahead. Talk to that kid.
Yeah.
Because it fucking sucks for them.
Absolutely.
God
you better
damn
get your
it.
Life. Go get your life.
Life. Get your life.
Just know this about your mom's house. This is a tolerant place.
For
all right.
Sure.
We are welcome, open arms to all.
And we make fun of shit, like the dudes.
Everything.
Make fun of everything.
Everything.
But there's no hate in it.
Where the dudes at?
No
it's all,
hate.
It's all in love.
Never hate.
It's always love, guys.
Yeah.
So if you think that, if you ever take anything that's come out of here as anything but love, I'm sorry. You're wrong. This is a loving place.
That's right.
Juice.
You try me.
Get your juice. Try me. Fucking fatty.
You can fucking try me, fatso.
Can I tell you something amazing happened to me?
What happened?
I did this thing in Austin, this festival, and
yeah.
I got to hang out with one of my comedy heroes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tell me. Yeah, we actually didn't get to talk about this, so.
No, I've been drinking green tea. First of all, I've been drinking green tea this episode, which is why I'm so fired up.
Yeah.
I never drink green tea, but it's pretty interesting. But I got to fucking meet and hang out with Jenny Garofalo, who, like, I grew up with when I was, like, 13. She was, like, a grown-up.
I want to say
I
that...
I loved her growing up.
When you, when I started, you know, not even before we were dating even, when I was just friends with you as stand-ups, I want to say that you mentioned admiring her as a comic
really?
Back then. I want to say that you did.
I just, you know what I mean? She was one of the few female that you saw that was like, she dressed all dumpy and she was dark and I just loved her. And I got to like talk to her and hang out and she was so nice.
Yeah.
You know, that's also the bonus is when your idols, your heroes are kind and fun and
sweet to you.
It changes everything. I say that experience alone was like, it just made my year. It was so much fun.
On the personal level, it always trumps how funny they are.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
sure.
If you go, that guy was hysterical, and then you're like, he's kind of a dick. You're like, well,
it's
fuck that guy.
Gone. Then you hate that person forever.
Yeah.
It's so true. It's so true. But then you meet someone who you admire and they're kind. It's like, oh, like Phyllis Diller was like that. She was super sweet and kind, classy. A lot of people are like that.
Yeah, Diller was. She even wrote you a letter.
She wrote me a letter? That's right.
Have I met any heroes?
Who's your hero? Who would you want to meet?
I know who I want to meet more than anybody.
Who?
Chris Rock.
Danny Kay. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's who I'd want to meet more than anybody.
Yeah, we don't get to see him around. He's too big. Like, you see Louis C.K. every now and then at the Comedy Store. You'll see Bill Burr. Well,
Rock's
Bill
popped
Burr,
in.
But at the store? I've never heard of that.
He's popped in at the store for sure. I know people have said it. But I've seen him pop in at Melrose before, at the Improv. And it's one of my favorite. I remember that everything so vividly. He pulled up. I was on the 10 o'clock show, okay?
Yeah.
And the 8 o'clock show was ending. It was 9:50. Chris Rock pulled up in a Porsche, parked in front of the Improv. Didn't directly in front, like in the loading zone. I was inside, so I see him walk in and I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
That's Chris Rock.
That's the man.
So it's packed. The place is packed. You know how that Improv, they just redid it.
Yeah,
so
I know. I saw that.
The whole new way. But the old way was that bar with the stairs and all that up front, right? And you walk through the hallway. So I see Bob, who's no longer there, but Bob was working he was the manager at the time. He's on the stairs. He's like halfway up the stairs and he sees Chris and he goes, oh, hey, Chris, are you going to do a spot? And he's like, yeah. And he goes, so we're just ending this show. Could you just wait to the 10 o'clock? And Chris Rock goes, nah. And he goes, please, we're just about to wrap this up. And Chris Rock goes, nah. And then he just walks. He's like,
that's great.
And you're not going to say shit to him. That's the best part. And I love that I got to witness that I love
moment
it so much.
That's rad.
And I was just ear to ear smiles, you know? And he just starts walking towards the showroom, completely blew off Bob. And he walks into the showroom. I follow him, of course.
Of course.
Standing like right
stalking
behind him.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Quietly. Yes.
Quietly stalking, acting like I don't even know who,
sure.
Like, I don't even,
who's
even
that?
Notice you. Yeah. Mm. So he walks in there and the host is about to, or whoever's on stage, he lets them do their time. When whoever's on stage says good night, they're like, thank you. The host, who I think was Flip Schultz, starts walking towards the stage because, you know, he knows it's time to go up. And Chris Rock taps him on the shoulder. He taps him on the shoulder. Flip turns around like, who's tapping me on the shoulder? And Chris doesn't stop. He just walks past him. So Flip looks like, oh, my God. And then he gets the hint like, oh, just let him walk up. As he's walking up the stairs, hit the stage, the entire room stands up for a standing ovation.
Oh, my God.
And it's packed.
No pressure, right?
And but I mean...
To start your set
way. So he goes up there, and he just he doesn't do anything. Like, he doesn't, I'm going to do 45. He does, like, 10, 12 minutes.
It's classy.
And it's all shit. You could tell that he's, like, it's not, like, you know, tried and true.
Right.
He just is riffing.
Trying it out.
He had just gotten back from South Africa.
Oh,
he was talking about that and talking about meeting Nelson Mandela. I still remember he said, I got to meet Nelson Mandela and my opinion of Nelson Mandela went down immediately because Nelson Mandela was willing to meet me.
Oh, that's funny.
I thought
funny.
That was really funny.
That's really funny.
And he's like, I don't know what the fuck to talk about, Nelson Mandela. He's like, what do you say? Hey, man, this new video iPod sucks.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Yeah, what do you talk about?
So to me, though, I was just pure joy, ear to ear, like in
it's
heaven.
The best, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It was awesome.
Can I tell you?
And I didn't even fucking meet him.
I know. You will, though. You'll hang out with him. Eventually in comedy.
What did you guys talk about?
Can I tell you? It was so cool. So I went to get a cheeseburger, and I come back to the green room. We're doing like a festival show. So there's like 6 or 7 comics, like female comics. It's a girl show.
Yeah.
And I come back to my green room, and Jeanine Garofalo is just sitting in there. And I act cool. You know what I mean? Yeah. Where you're like, what's up? Well, it's just Jeanine Garofalo, my adolescent hero. No big deal.
What's up, JG?
What's up, JG? Yeah, totes, right? And I sit down. I start to eat my cheeseburger.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, hi, I'm Jeanine. I was like, oh, yeah. Well, who? Jeanine what? And I shake her hand. And then we talk about all kinds of nonsense. I brought up Dr. Laura. So we talk about whatever, feminism. And then I left my trash on the table. This is my favorite. I just leave some trash behind. I throw away the cheeseburger, but I leave like napkins.
Yeah.
She scolds me. She's like, God damn it, Christina. Don't you clean up after yourself? And I was like, oh my God, Jeanine Garofalo's scolding me.
And you got happy.
And she cleaned up my trash for me.
Oh, that's nice.
And I was like, oh, you're the coolest. And can I tell you what she did or did not do? Because that was a lineup of all female comics.
Yeah.
She came just to hang out in the green room. We're like, hey, do you want to cut in and do a spot? She's like, I'm not that person. And I'm like, that's fucking class. Unlike your Chris Rock story.
Steal the thunder.
Chris Rock just demands stage time.
Well, but you know what? Like,
no, but he only did 10 or 15. If he had done an hour and a half, I'd be like, that fucking
but
sucks.
Here's the thing, though. Is that that was a festival.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the thing to hang out. This was, it's like, if you're that level, and you're driving around, and you feel like doing 10 minutes, you stop wherever you want.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. No, but the next night, she had a theater show, and I got to sneak in.
And it was packed, you said, right?
This woman has a following. Like, I was there for Marc Maron's podcast the night before. Yeah, it was full. Jeanine Garofalo's audience, it was like packed. And every time she stopped talking, they were just like, I love you. A guy ran up to the stage in the middle of her bit and hugged her and was like, I love you. I mean, it's just the love from her fan base is, it's unbelievable. It's rare. And I've only ever seen that with like, the old, like Joan Rivers has that kind of a following.
Yeah.
It's a very rare
thing. I feel like
thing.
We're going to get that in Portland from our fans.
God, I hope
so. I feel like we're going to get that. I feel like we're going to get its second show, the 10:30 show.
Oh, I hope, man.
The one that's on sale now.
Oh, I hope.
10:30 at the Funhouse.
I can only. Portland. Can I tell you that she looks really good, too? She looks exactly as she did in her 20s when she was doing those movies. And
I feel like, was it Bert that said he had, used to have a crush on her or something? I feel
who
like he
hasn't had a crush on Jeanine Garofalo?
I have a crush on you. I want you to know that I love you and I love Heineken's and I want to have babies with you.
Who is Bert's crush, do you think? Celebrity crush besides his wife, Leanne Kreischer. Hello.
Besides Jeanine? Jeanine kind of has a Leanne thing, huh? Now that you say that.
Yeah, they're brunettes. They're smart.
Glasses.
You glasses, know? Yep.
To no, Leanne, but like, Burr. ain't she precious?
Would you imagine? I didn't want to say it out loud. Just had a bad thought. Like having to do it with Bert every night.
Oh, she's a saint. She's a saint.
I know.
That woman's a saint on so many levels.
But do you think he can get serious? Like, I don't.
I was really upstaging. I was looking in your eyes, and I was like,
is he a mouth cleaner?
Do you think she's like, Bert, you think you could close your mouth?
Well, I was going to give you a kiss, so I was wondering if I could start with my mouth open.
I can't even imagine.
Jesus.
Oh, wow.
That big ape.
Who can you not picture doing it? Like, of our comedian friends.
Besides Bert?
There's so many people I can't.
I can't picture Ari with a woman.
No way! Ari?
Picture, no, I'm just kidding.
I can't see Ari doing it.
He closes the deal a lot.
Yeah, he throws around?
Definitely. All those guys do. Let's see. Oh, how about Red Band, our fucking stupid son?
I was just thinking of our son.
And you know what? He's such the whore whisperer.
Yeah.
I was thinking about where we were hanging out somewhere. And
it's totally his gift.
We were hanging out somewhere. I think we were at the Ice House. And and I remember like he had gone on stage and we were out on that patio out front. And some whore, like some clearly broken whore.
Yeah.
Walked up and she was like, "Hey, I think you're hysterical." I was like, "Jesus!" It's like the broken whore knew
they love him.
They knew exactly who he was.
He's like Saint Francis preaching to the birds, and they all come to him. the broken souls,
they do.
I know, but God bless them because they need somebody.
Yeah,
too. Everybody needs somebody,
and he needs them.
And he
to feel fulfilled.
And to go to Olive Garden with.
Butthole Olive Garden for sure. And he gets these little fucking broken girls. And you look at it and you're like,
what's going on here?
But then, you know, it goes from there.
it sounds like you eating your pasta last night.
Babe.
Is that how you ate it?
I didn't eat pasta like that.
How was my fart last night?
Oh. God damn it.
You know why I made poop soup? That's why. And I ate it for 2 days in a row and I came off the road.
And my anus is relaxed here, Pat.
Oh. That was terrible.
Did you like that? You actually had to light 4 matches.
There is a cunt on my anus.
That was one of the worst farts you've ever let.
Ever in the history
ever,
of our
ever,
marriage?
Ever. Yeah. I mean,
wow.
Let's see. It was after dinner. You had lamb or something, right?
No, I had
veal.
Veal.
Oh, we're getting some letters about that.
Here's what happened. I can't tell you. I got a little upset. We went to this Italian restaurant last night.
Oh, it was a Northern Italian Sicilian joint. Stupid waiter.
He goes, well, here's what happened. We sit down. And I'm like, where the fuck are the checkered tablecloth? Where's my bread basket? Where's the marinara? And I asked the waiter, because I'm fucking white trash. I like my marinara. And he goes, oh, that's not, this kind of Italian restaurant isn't like that. We don't have marinara because we're from the northern Italy. We're from Sicily, he says. Really? It's not the same place. You moron.
You dope.
Try me, fatso.
You fucking asshole. You fucking dumb shit.
Yes.
You can fucking try me, fatso.
I tried ordering their stupid veal without marinara. You know, you have to have marinara to have Italian food. It doesn't count if there's no fucking tomatoes on it.
Yeah,
I'm so mad. I'm still angry at it.
I got to tell you, I was angry at your anger, and I was hurt because I really was trying to do something sweet for you.
I know, baby, I know.
But I got to tell you, it was really good. The food was good. It was good food.
I think the Olive Garden may have more flavor.
You're talking about, but here's the truth.
I like white trash, but I like trashy,
okay, but it was good food. That's what upset me is that you weren't acknowledging. We had the calamari that wasn't fried. It was sautéed.
That's the problem.
And it was delicious. You said it was good.
Yeah, it didn't taste like, I like it fried.
Doesn't taste like ribs and ranch?
Right. I like, where's the ranch? Where's the marinara? Okay. With the marinara.
The truth is, this was a northern Italian.
Ew.
But that was the truth.
Ew.
Retard threw in Sicily.
No, I know.
Which is at the very, very south.
Ooh.
This is a northern Italian place. Our food is more northern Italian, like, you know, Sicily.
You can fucking try me, fatso.
I know. But I like trashy stuff. I like breadsticks with cheese.
This is a Northern Californian restaurant, more of the San Diego feel.
And my favorite is he puts down a knife in front of me, and he goes, be careful, ma'am. This knife is sharp.
You should have gone, I'm a dumb cunt. I don't know how to use knife.
You know what I fucking should have done? Pick it up and stab him in his goddamn aorta and go, this isn't sharp enough, fatso. Slit his fucking throat.
You had so much anger at not having marinara and meatballs.
Can I tell you why I was really mad? It wasn't that there wasn't marinara. It was that he scoffed at. He went, you dumb bitch. It was as if to say, how stupid are you? You don't know this is the fancy Italian. You white trash whore.
It was different Italian. It was just. It really was regional.
But he was shitty to me.
Oh, all right.
He was elitist about my desire for marinara. And he goes at the end. He goes, this is a chocolate cake, a chocolate fluffy. You know what it was? A fucking brownie. It was a brownie with a little bit of ice cream on it. And he said some fancy
it's
shit.
Il chocolate yeah. della monna, della pizza di Sicilia.
No, it was a brownie.
Principe, come mangia, mangia la cioccolata.
It's called a brownie in America, you asshole.
You fucking fuck. I got to tell you something.
The dog needs to shit. He's circling.
Is he? Oh.
He got a shit.
All right, let's stop. We'll come back. We're back.
I'm eating my cheese snack.
Foofy went poo-poo and pee-pee.
Oh, poo-poo and pee-pee. Good job, buddy.
Good job, man.
He's so cute. He's looking up at me. He had your tail wagging. Okay, you can come here. I will give you love. Come here, buddy. Oh, the beef thrones.
Hi. Careful with your cables.
I know. He tore the mic. He's sniffing the microphone. Mm. Hi, boo-boo.
Because he smells you on it.
You smell your mommy.
I love you. Foofy was growling at other doggies today.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know. He's getting a little aggressive. He's a little sheltered, maybe.
He likes to get up on tables, by the way, just so you know. He does.
That's a new one.
Yeah.
You know, he's recovering every week. He gets stronger and better. And he's also becoming more of a dog. And he's every week something new. We learn about Fief that we didn't know about Fifo. Like now he's growling at dogs. Last week he wasn't doing that.
Scary, man.
Right, buddy?
You're going to love having him on the road. I took him on the road 2 weeks, everybody. 2 weeks on the road with me. I had him in Orlando. Some people got to meet him in Orlando that stayed late on Saturday night. Orlando. I showed him Fifo. Orlando was the shit. Did I already say this on the show?
I don't think you did, buddy.
Dude, I'm really surprised at how good. This is 3 times I've been there now, and shows are always great in Orlando.
That's good, isn't it?
It's really awesome. Yeah.
Good genes. A lot of mommies?
A lot of mommies. But just even the mommies, the ones that come out that aren't there, that don't know, they're just good. They're a good audience.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Very impressed with the Orlando Improv. Just as a whole, it really surprised me how good. Mm-hmm. I would say that's one of the better clubs right now.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to be there in January.
January of
2014.
2014. And you can pull it out and show it to them and make them, you know,
dick or make you slap somebody in the face.
Make them slap themselves in the face with your dick.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So Orlando, very impressed.
Now he wants to go down.
Of course. Very impressed. Okay. Thank you for coming out, everybody that was in Orlando.
Little doggy.
And I'm very excited about this weekend in Toronto. It is time to fill her up
and seal her shut. Well, you guys. In honor of
Jason Collins
coming out
and Chris Broussard wanting to come out,
I figured we should do a gay edition, which we haven't done yet.
How have we not done a filler up, sealer shut, fully gay style?
I don't know, but I'm really excited, you guys.
Huh.
All right. Where are the dudes at? Here we go. First up for the ladies, Martina Navratilova.
Martina Navratilova.
Navratilova or Billie Jean King.
So you went to tennis and you went old school. Lesbians, I'll let you as the woman answer first.
Well, here's the thing because...
They're very famous, by the way. You picked very famous lesbians.
Listen, if I learned anything from the Ayn Rand one that week,
yeah,
nobody knows obscure...
Right, and they're not going to look it up.
They're not going to look it up. So we may as well pick people that are well-known.
Yeah.
And, you know, tennis. I like tennis.
You do like tennis.
Billie Jean King, she's old school. I looked her up. I'm gonna go on aesthetics only on this one.
It's a, you know, didn't we get a lesson from somebody?
I know, I have the audio, and I don't wanna spoil. You know what? Let's not reference it. We'll do it on the next episode.
Okay.
Fuck, man. I'm gonna go Martina.
Martina Navratilova.
Aesthetically pleasing. She's made some cameo appearances in films and such.
Yeah.
Like, I like her competitive edge.
Yeah.
Billie Jean's a little too serious for me. I feel like too competitive for me.
I feel like, well, I'm going to tell you, Martina is no slouch when it comes to being competitive.
I know.
So.
Let me look at her face. Hold on. I got to Google.
I'm going to go with Martina. Now, am I even allowed to fill her up? Because she's not into dudes, right? So it's
no,
okay still.
You have to lick her up.
Lick her up and lick her shut.
Yeah.
I want to munch on that clam box. And
okay.
I like blondes.
I like blondes too. Nice, yeah.
I like Eastern Europeans.
Yeah, there you go.
So I'm going Martina. I'm starting at the booty crack and I'm going all the way around her clam chop.
You're going to tighten the strings? But wait a minute. I'm looking at Billie Jean when she was in her prime.
We're not going prime. We're going current.
Well, I'm just saying. Back then, she had a nice angle of fro. Nice arms. Yeah, she didn't age so well.
I'm down with Martina.
Yeah, a unanimous Martina.
Yeah.
I like blondes, too. I think she's more attractive. I feel like her box, for some reason, would smell fresher.
You think so?
Billie Jean King's.
Wow, you're talking trash about Billie Jean's box.
I just think sometimes I'm imagining that dark pubic hair, and I don't know what happens there.
Yeah.
I like a blonde mound, you know?
Oh, it's a blonde box of Martina. It's a very, by the way, they're both winning boxes. If the if championships get your juices flowing, you're talking about two champions. So they're both winners. I think they're both going to try to out-eat your box after you're done. And yeah. I don't think you can't lose with either one. Whoever's box you want to.
It's interesting because I'm thinking of whose box I would rather eat. And now let's think about whose box, like who would I want to eat my box?
No,
God, that's a totally different.
Isn't that interesting? As the old monks used to say, isn't that interesting?
And do you want to know something? In terms of who do I want eating my box? I want the most competitive eater. I want Billie Jean King.
Well, she's the one that called out, was it Jimmy Connors? That was the Battle of the Sexes match.
Right. And oh, yeah.
He was whoever said, you know, he's like a woman could never beat a man, and she beat him.
And she kicked his ass, and that's why.
And it's not Jimmy Connors, I think.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You know who it was? Bruce Valanche. I think I want Billie Jean King to eat my box. I want that competitive spirit. I want that rage. I want that anger. I want her face in my box, her dark hair. But if I had to eat someone's box, it would be Martina.
Huh.
Can I say that?
Yeah, and by the way, I'm sorry. So it was Bobby Riggs. No. Yeah.
Jason Biggs?
The second
Biggs?
Was the national between...
It was Jason Biggs.
Between Riggs and Billy. So it was Bobby Riggs, yeah.
Okay, well, she won.
And the next match was between... The final match was between Jimmy Connors and Martina Navratilova.
Jimmy Connors.
So in that one, just so you know, so they both took part in this. Battle of the Sexes ended with Jimmy Connors and Martina Navratilova previously turned down John McEnroe. She considered them undignified. Connors said that this was war. Anyways, Connors won 7-5, 6-2. That's a good... Pretty good match, goddamn. So, I'm sorry, you wanted Billie Jean to eat the box, though?
I want Billie Jean King to eat my vagina.
Why?
Because she's a fierce competitor.
But so is Martina.
But I don't want to eat Billie Jean's box. You understand? I'm kind of splitting the decision.
You can't do that. You have to pick one. You can't do that. That's not how this works.
Nobody ever said that.
You can't vote for both. Who's gonna fill it up and seal it shut with you?
But this is too difficult, Tom.
That so is algebra. You got to pick an answer.
All right. It boils down to this: Billie Jean King is dark haired, therefore she has dark vagina hair and butt hair. I don't like that. I like a blonde box and a blonde asshole.
So the answer is.
Martina, Navratilova.
We both agree.
Okay.
All right.
Let's do it for the guys.
For the guys. Gay guys. Athletes. Fill them up.
Here you go.
Blow me up, Tom.
Remember that asshole?
Of course.
What is it? Dump that bitch.
Okay.
You gotta dump that bitch.
He's like Rush Limbaugh for dating it.
Lycus 101, blow me up,
Tom. Let me tell you something, pal. I got bitches everywhere.
I make plenty of money. I got a house.
Where is he now?
Five cars. Here's the
cigars.
Deal. You don't spend more than $10 on a date. All right? And if that bitch wants more, you tell her there's $10 more between my legs. Suck on that dick.
Okay. Here we go. Fill him up, seal him shut. Greg Louganis.
Ooh.
Ooh, swimmer's body.
Ooh.
Or, in light of our conversation, Jason Collins.
Hey, a celebration.
Hip hop, hooray.
Very different aesthetically. Louganis. Huh. You know what Louganis looks like.
He's got, look him up.
Yeah, he's got darker, curly hair.
He's got
Louganis. What is that? Is that...
fish fillet.
Is that... What is that? Greek? That has some type of Latin root, right?
Shit. Let's see this guy. Oh, yeah, and he aged well. He looks
aged
great.
Well, yeah.
He's cute.
He's got HIV.
Oh.
So that's even more impressive, right?
I guess. Yeah, poor guy. All right, let's see. Louganis. What is he? I didn't
Italian?
Say his
Italian?
Italian, buddy. I don't really like Italian food.
Not the place we went to.
Yeah.
At least it was cheap,
not
though.
Interested in Italy.
Italy. The only reason we went there is because we had a coupon. All right, let's see. It doesn't say what he is, what his stupid last name is. Well, anyways, you know what, though?
He's got to be Greek.
I don't like him. Maybe Greek, yeah. I don't really like this kind of the way this guy looks. I'm going to take Jason Collins. He's really cute. He's, like, stunningly cute.
He's really good looking. He's 7 feet tall. 255. You know, if you go by your...
theory of cock size proportionate to height?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a huge one. Oh, my God. He went to Harvard Westlake.
Yeah.
Oh, he grew up in L.A.
He's
That's
LA
a
kid.
Really nice
And
school.
He went to Stanford after that.
He's
yeah.
so smart. Oh, my
he
God.
He is. Real bright guy.
This guy's totally filling me up. Yeah, he's from Northridge. He was born in Northridge. Get the fuck out of here, Tommy. All right. He's a Valley guy. He grew up where I did, man. All the way, Jason Collins.
Yeah, but look at him.
I know, but aesthetically speaking, I like basketball players. The tall, lanky look. Tall, lanky cocks to match.
Uh-huh.
His dong can reach, what is it, center field?
Oh, his dong.
The pickup line.
Look, when it's in your mouth, it's tickling your bush at the same time.
Wow.
That's how far down it hangs.
Wow.
It hangs into your mouth, down your throat, and it's pushing on your ovaries.
Well, Greg Louganis is short, though. Let me look.
5'9". He's not that short.
Yeah. He's just not my type.
He's a foot and change shorter than Jason.
Than Big Cocks?
Yeah, than Big Old Stinky Cock.
I want Big Old Stinky Cock. I'm going to take his. What do you think?
Go for it, man. They're both in great physical condition. So physically, it's what you want.
Yes. Ethymathymios Louganis. It looks like he is Greek.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks like a Greek guy. I'm going with Jason.
What?
Yeah.
You and I today, 2 for 2.
You know why?
Why?
I just want to give in, and I feel like even if I wanted to resist, Jason could force me to do things.
Mm.
So might as well just be like, look, man, whatever you're going to do, at this point, do it forcefully.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to try to resist, but I know it's futile. Like, so just... Yeah. Do what you're gonna do.
Because you know why? Because Greg Louganis is like a relationship dude.
Right.
He's like an old school gay dude. So he's been there, done that. He's not gonna force you into shit. But Jason, you want to kind of like hold your head down and force you into things a little bit.
A little more aggressive. And like, since I'm new to this, you know, I feel like Jason would be the guy to really, you know, slap me around a little bit. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
He's 7 feet tall. What am I gonna do to him?
But then again, Louganis has the experience, the loving touch, a swimmer's physique.
But that's not what I'm looking for. I want it a little more aggressive. I want that
swimmer's body.
Yeah. Well, that basketball body's nothing to fucking sneeze at.
Nothing to sneeze at. What do they have? Swimmer's ear? Don't they have something?
Yeah, you can't come in his ears. That's part of it. It says that on his site. It says, "Don't come in my ears."
They don't like that.
No.
Mm.
So, Martina Navratilova. We're both going Martina.
Mm.
We're both going Jason Collins. Mm.
Jason, come in my face, Collins.
Jason, come all over me, Collins.
Oh.
With your big black 7-foot cock.
Mm.
NBA style. And then I want you to, when you... You don't even have a choice. When it's with Jason, that's just what it sounds like every time.
Do you think Martina would force my face in her box too? You eat these bugs. What's her accent? What is she, Ruski?
Something. One of your people over there. Somewhere over there. Ukrainian, Russian.
Eat,
I don't
these
know.
Bugs, please. No. Do these things to me. Eat
the German, bugs. Right? German. No.
Oh, shots. No. Natra. She's Russian, I bet you. Yeah. I used to work for a Russian woman, and I was a waitress, and she always, her name was Masha, and every time I did something bad, she would say, chort.
Czech Republic.
Chort. Oh, yeah, she's one of my dirty people.
Yeah, yeah. Eat.
Eat my books.
This is what she does.
Fucking pig.
You're licking, stupid. She takes her panties off,
you stupid pig.
Her clam flaps open. And she goes,
it's an older clam.
Right. And she goes, eat. Eat. Eat.
Put some borscht into it.
No, take some kolbas and rub it against my eat.
The
eat,
Czechs, eat. I don't know if they have kolbas like we do.
Eat.
Eat my vagina.
My vagina.
Yeah, bushni, bro. Short. It's Eastern Bloc.
Manja.
Stupid.
Shit.
What?
All right, nothing, man.
Are you going to play my outro song? I'm really excited.
Yeah, let's do this. We got to get out of here.
By the way, Austin, best part about Austin is that Austin's way too cool for me now.
Yeah.
Like, the older I am, like, I'm not even this hip. But they were playing the Cramps when they were loading in. I got to perform on Jim Norton's show. And they were
How cool
the
was that, by the
really
way?
Cool. Really cool. Jim Norton's got a good audience. And they were playing the Cramps, and I was like, oh. I got to play this on our podcast.
Let's do it, man.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, mommies.
We'll see you Friday.
We love you.
Bye.
I love your ass, for bad or worse. I love your nasty way you curse. When you sit down, it's wild how you sit. Grind your heel in the ground, the groovy way you spit. Ooh, you look good. Ooh, you smell good. Ooh, you taste good. Like a bad girl should. When I need love, I love how you feel. When I need dough, I love how you steal. I love your sick way you think. The way your perfume makes you stink. Ooh, you look good. Ooh, you smell good. Like a bad girl should. Splits my spleen. Ooh, you look good. Ooh, you smell good. Ooh, you taste good. Like a bad girl should.